If you're ready for the message, say, I'm ready. Say, spaghetti. Hey, I'm in a kid spirit today. All right. My whole life, I have been a little goofy. My whole life, I've enjoyed making people laugh. Anybody like to laugh? Some of y'all need to laugh more. You need to remind your face you're in a good mood. All right. So everybody just give me a fake smile. Smile. Do a little cheese. Y'all look so good. Even upstairs, y'all look great. I love to make people laugh, but back in grade school, it got me in a lot of trouble. Some of you were class clowns, and you can relate. I would get in so much trouble, and it was always my goal, after I've made my classmates laugh, to make the teacher laugh as well. Some would say that's called sucking up. I say it's wisdom. And I always would get my mom called. We would get report cards, and always at the bottom, it would say that I need to improve on how much I talk in class, and I'm a distraction, and I'm doing all these things. I would get sent to the office. I would get suspended from school. I just have always loved making people laugh all the way up into graduation. Your high school senior pranks, I was the guy. And I got in so much trouble, but one thing you expect from your student as they graduate high school is that they simply do this one thing, and it's this, it's grow up, right? Tell your neighbor, say, you need to grow up, all right? And tell the other person, the one you don't know, say, and just smile at them, be like, yeah, you too, okay. Grow up, but just good news for you this morning, sophomore year of college rolls around, and I did not do that very thing. I did not grow up. I was still immature. I was still learning by making a lot of mistakes. And I was playing baseball at a private Baptist school, and me and 15 of my buddies on a road trip, we had put together and orchestrated, we made a music video. Now, this music video, I would show you a clip of it. It would be completely inappropriate at church. There were lots of mustaches, lots of mullets, and lots of Speedos, and there was lots of dancing. There was nothing wrong with the video. I'll just be bold and say that. We were on the railroad tracks. We did a scene out there. By the way, it was to the song Baby by Justin Bieber. Maybe you're familiar with that. Baby, baby, baby. Oh, and oh boy, did I get in a lot of trouble. I'll tell you this. I was sitting in class the day after I hit submit on YouTube. This was before all the social media stuff, and this video blew up. And it was basically us dancing and doing the, mouthing the words to the song. And I mean, I was the producer, I was the editor, and I was the lead actor. That's your pastor. And I got in so much trouble. The next day, I'm sitting in a college class, sophomore year, knock on the door, resource officer opens the door, we need Seth Tomboli to come to office. And I was like, I didn't know they had offices at college. I got called to the office. I find myself in a boardroom at a big old table with about 10, 11, 12 people sitting at it. Looked very professional and president of the school. I was not saved. I was far from saved at this point, okay? So y'all give me some grace. And I walk in and they have queued up on the screen this video. And I'm like, I have officially made it. I have never been so proud and honored. So I sit down at the head of the table and they hit play. And me being childish, I start singing the song. Nobody else is laughing. Nobody else, y'all laughing. They were not laughing. They hit stop and they basically say, Seth, you got a choice to make. You can take the video, you can remove the video from the internet, or you will be removed from this school. And to show y'all how dumb I was, I thought about it. I was so childish. I thought about it. Not only did I think about it, but I asked the question. Y'all ever heard there's no such thing as dumb questions? I disagree. I asked a really dumb question. I said, what rules did I break? And they didn't have a rule, but how many you want to know? They changed the rule book because of me. That's my claim to fame. I should go sign some of the rule books. But I'll never forget this lady. She leans over the table. She was over disciplinary action. I got to know her really well that year. And she said this phrase. She said, Seth Tomboli, you need to grow up. She said, you need to grow up. And if I could be honest with you this morning, the truth is I needed to grow up. As many of you will agree with me this morning, as you heard that, you're like, I can't believe you did that. I did it. Maybe one day I'll show you the video. It's extremely inappropriate. But I needed to grow up. I was immature. I needed to become more mature. I needed to leave the nest. I needed to become a man. I needed to grow up. And some of you this morning, you're like, yeah, I need to grow up a little bit as well. Growing up. It's something as we get older, naturally, we grow up. We progress in life. We start working. We start doing. We grow physically. We grow mentally. We grow emotionally. We grow spiritually. We should grow up. Would y'all agree this morning? We should grow up. As you become an adult, you grow up. As you graduate, you become an adult, and we become less immature. The thing I've wrestled with all week, I ended up getting the stomach bug that my kids had, so I had lots of time to think this week. I was thinking about this idea of growing up, because the world says that you need to grow up and become less like a child, but the Word of God says that you need to come to Jesus as what? A child. So I've been wrestling with this tension. What I'm not going to do today is give you an excuse to be immature. I'm not going to give you an excuse to not grow up, because we know the Word of God tells us that we should grow. We should become more like Christ. We should mature and become complete in Christ Jesus. But the disciples had this moment in Matthew chapter 18. If you've got a Bible, we'll be there this morning. In verse 1 through 5, they had a moment where Jesus just got done telling them, like, hey, I'm about to die. For the second time, Jesus predicts, he says, hey, I'm going to be going to the cross. And you would think the disciples have more of a reverent response. Like, but they ask a really stupid question. They ask, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Now, this creates quite the conflict. Because the disciples have been around Jesus for a while now. They've been following him, walking with him, seeing miracles. And the disciples, all they have really done is argued amongst each other about who should have the highest position, who is the greatest, even to this point. The Last Supper rolls around. Jesus is about to be betrayed by Judas and go to the cross. This whole moment's about to unfold. And at the table, Jesus is about to start washing their feet. And what are the disciples doing? They're arguing with each other about who is the greatest, who's going to have the highest position. And it says in verse 2, this is how Jesus responds to this question. This is crazy. Verse 2, he says, he called a little child to himself and he placed the child among them. And he said, truly, I tell you, unless you change. Everybody say change. I want to pause and let you know that when you come to Christ, when you start following Jesus, when you make Jesus the Lord and the Savior of your life, it requires change. If there's no change, then I would say, and be bold this morning, it's you haven't really started following Christ. Because you're supposed to become less like yourself and more like him. It's less of me. It's more of Christ. So there's change. But this is what he says. Change and become like what? Like little children. You'll never enter the kingdom of heaven if you don't do this. This is bold. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position, a humble position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. So I've really wrestled with this passage this week, because how am I supposed to grow up, but then also in return have faith like a child? How am I supposed to mature, become more like Christ, but then to come to him as a child? Would you write this down? Jesus wants me, or you, make it personal. Jesus wants me to come to him like a child. Some of you are like, well, Seth, this is really elementary stuff. And I'll be bold and tell you this morning, if you think this is elementary, you're missing it. This is so important. He's saying you will not inherit the kingdom of heaven unless you come to me like a child. Y'all, the disciples were so caught up in being childish, they were missing the message Jesus was teaching them about being childlike. They were caught up arguing with each other about who's the greatest, and they had the greatest, like the goat, the greatest of all time, like the actual goat, the greatest, sitting amongst them that carries the greatest hope of the world, salvation. So just to paint the picture for you, We are not to be childish, we're to be childlike. The Word of God says to put our childish ways behind us. The Word says to mature and to grow and to be made complete in Christ Jesus, not just to crave spiritual milk, but the meat and the deeper things of God. In verse 2, he says, he called a little child to himself and he placed the child among them. And he said, truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. I just started thinking about this week as I was reading, thinking about the disciples. I started laughing because I was like, these disciples have followed Jesus for a couple years. They've seen Jesus heal people, cast out demons, raise dead people, make them alive. They've seen him multiply a kid's lunchbox to feed thousands of people. They've seen crazy stuff happen. They've heard all his sermons. They've heard all of his teachings. They've been a part of this for a couple years now. So this had to be a little bit of a gut check. In this moment, the disciples became so prideful in their position. And Jesus goes straight to the root of the pride, and he answers their question with a humble response in an illustration. And Jesus says, if you do not change and become like a child, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. The reality is adults tend to look after children. Would y'all agree? It's very rare that an adult is looking up to a child. And so just like all of us as humans, as most of us as an adult, this is a little kind of a tense, interesting topic. Like, become like a child, but I don't, like a child? What do you mean like a child? Because at the beginning of a child's life, ultimately they are consumers. And all the parents said, amen, right? They take, right? They cost you money. They take your food. Your energy, they take your candy, and I take it back at Halloween. I get all the Reese's cups. Can I have an amen? Your hobbies change, your space, your energy, all these things. Children are needy. They need to be dressed. You got to buy clothes and put clothes on them. You got to get them out of bed. You got to put their socks and their shoes on. You got to tie the shoes. You got to teach them how to tie the shoes. You got to not only prepare the food, but you got to feed them the food. And then after you feed them the food, what you got to do? You got to clean them up because they made a mess. I'm just going to paint the picture for you. Become like a child. What do you mean like a child? And then after all that's said and done, they're going to use the bathroom on themselves. And who's got to clean it up? You do. Some of y'all are like, I don't. You do. Glorious part of parenting. You change the diaper. You get them to sleep. You got to put them in the car seat. Take them out of the car seat. So to become, like, to hear a message, to become, Jesus wants me, an adult, to become like a child? What do you mean? As an adult, when we start producing, please hear this. And we start earning, and we start working, and we start becoming, and we start doing and learning, this is what we do. We end up going our own way. And slowly but surely, we begin to lose reliance upon our parents. At least you should. You leave the house, you start doing your own thing, and this is a part of life. This is how God designed this. But what happens is as an adult, when we start producing and we start following Christ and we start becoming really good at being a Christian and we start doing the things and seeing results, we start, and the older we get and the longer that we live, we think we can do this without Christ. We lose reliance on Jesus. And so Jesus is telling the disciples, obviously you guys don't get it. You're missing the main point. And I think Jesus wants to simply remind us this morning that we should never lose reliance upon him. Amen. You should never lose dependency upon Christ. If anything, we need more of Christ as we get older. Would y'all agree? I know I do. I want you to write this down. As my age increases, my reliance upon Jesus should as well. As my age increases, my reliance upon Jesus should as well. You do not outgrow your need for Christ. And if you feel like you have outgrown your need or your reliance for Christ, you have sadly mistaken. And please lean in and hear this morning, because the disciples were in the same boat. I should be more dependent upon God today than I was yesterday. Would y'all agree? I should be more dependent and reliant upon God to move in my life today than I was yesterday. And a prayer that I pray for the church is that we would always be a people, a group, a family that needs more of God tomorrow than we do today. That we wouldn't think that we arrived. No. We need God every single day and more of his presence. But what happens is you become an expert. The disciples were walking with Jesus. They spent 3 years with Jesus. He's about to go to his death. He says, hey, I'm about to leave this earth. I'm about to be killed. I'm about to go to the cross. All these things. And they ask a dumb question. Well, who's going to be the greatest out of all of us? And Jesus answers with the great. I'm telling y'all, Jesus had a sense of humor too. He brings a little child up in front of him and says, become like this child. Plan A in our life, I want you to write this down, is humble yourself and be exalted. The Bible says there is a plan B. Plan B is be humbled and be humiliated. I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer today, but that's the truth. We can walk through life full of pride and arrogance with an ego. It's all about me. It's all about my name. That sounds like plan B is going to happen. Anybody ever been humbled before? I have. Humiliated. Tried to do it my own way. Thank God he met me in the middle of that pit and pulled me out. Plan A is much better. I'm telling you from experience, to humble yourself and one day be exalted. I've got a couple brief thoughts before we close this morning. This is going to be a shorter message. Some of y'all are really excited about that. If we're going to come to Jesus as a child, then we need to do a couple things. Would you write this down? Approach Jesus with humility. Approach Jesus with humility. I want to ask you a question. Have y'all ever had somebody walk up to you and start telling you how great they are? Some of y'all are like, it happened to me this morning. Don't look at them, all right? Don't point them out. There's nothing worse than somebody walking up to you and it's all about me, 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 me. I, or my. And I'm like, will you please just walk away? Like, they want to tell you how smart they are. Their accomplishments, their achievements, all the things that they have done, their accolades. Would you agree it's just gross? Like pride and arrogance and ego, it's gross. Like people walk up and start doing that to me, I just start making noises like, rah. And they're like, what are you doing? Rah. What noise? That's what you sound like. Just stop. It's just gross. But this is the thing. Usually people full of pride don't realize they're full of pride until someone tells them. I had to be humbled before God. I learned that I couldn't be my own God, that it wasn't about me. I can't build my own little kingdom. And I got humbled quick. Shortly after the making of that music video I told you about. Listen, humility is not thinking less of yourself. Please don't get that wrong. It's not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking about yourself less. It's making life not all about you. It's serving other people with a focus on Christ. It's thinking about him. The disciples didn't get it. I kind of find encouragement that they couldn't figure it out either. The Bible says, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. God opposes the proud. He shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. Listen, a child doesn't have accolades. A child doesn't really have accomplishments and achievements other than the little things we put on the fridge. A child, for the most part, isn't walking around with their chest poked out. Some of y'all are like, you don't know my kid. You're right. I'm not saying children are not full of sin. They are sinful. I'm praying mine get saved real quick. They don't have a resume. A kid doesn't have successes. They don't have a list of all their strengths and their personality assessments and their giftings and their talents and their abilities. But you want to know what they have? They have innocence. They have innocence. One of my favorite things that my daughter does is she walks up to me after doing something she's not supposed to. And she says, I saw we. She can't say sorry. She also can't pronounce Grinch. If you missed that last week, I'm sorry. But she says, "I saw we, Daddy." She could do anything. She walks up to me and says, "I saw we, Daddy." Now, she tries that at 18. It's probably going to be a different conversation. But she walks up, she says, "I saw we." There's something so innocent about a little kid. Something so sweet. My mom and I've heard my grandparents and people say for years, "Oh, you're just so cute. I could just eat them up." Y'all ever heard that? I never said that until like recently. I'm like, "I could just eat you up. You're just so cute." And innocent. There's something about the innocence of a kid. What am I trying to tell you? That there's something about just innocently coming before Jesus. Coming to him as a child. You know, it's interesting. A child simply exists to be loved by their parents. For a certain time of life, they exist to be loved by their parents. And I'll say it this way. In life, as a child of God, which that's us, if you are a follower of Christ, as a child of God, we simply exist to love our Father and to be loved by him. Simple, right? We overcomplicate this thing, right? We add all these the to-dos and all these things that we got. He says, "Come to me as a child." Would you write this down? Approach Jesus with humility, but also approach him with full trust and faith. You've probably heard faith like a child. Faith like a child. I love when I get home, my kids run up to me and they wrap around my legs and they like try to tackle me and I'll like fall down. You know, sometimes kind of kick them off a little bit, but yeah, fall down. And it's amazing. We do this thing before we go to bed. It's called Pillow Man. It's a great way to get energy out of your kids. Basically, it's permission for me just to knock the mess out of them with our pillows. And it's great. They love it. Don't think differently. And we wrestle, but recently I've taught them right before bed. They get on me and Kendra's bed. And I've taught them, like, if you jump off the bed, Daddy's going to catch you. And so Haven doesn't know how to jump. All she does is this. She'd be like, you know, just like lean off. It'd be bad if I would have fell. She'll just like fall off the bed and I'll scoop her up. I'll catch her. And then Zane, he's a little athletic. He's 4. He's almost 5. He could jump a little bit. So he'll get on the bed and he's like, he'll jump. And he thinks this is so funny. "Daddy, you cop." He'll get back on the bed and he'll say this. He'll say, "Daddy, scoop back." So I'll scoop back. And then he'll say, "Daddy, you promised me you're going to catch me?" And I'm like, "I promise I'm going to catch you. You know, I just get all that energy out before bed in Jesus' name." So he'll jump. I'll catch him. He'll say, "Scoot back." I'll scoot back. "Daddy, you promised me you're going to catch me. I promise I'm going to catch." And he'll jump and I'll catch him. But what happens is eventually they go to bed, wake up the next morning. We're getting ready for school. We ain't playing the jump and catch game no more. I promised them the night before, "Daddy will always catch you when you jump." Can I be honest with you? I let my kids down. Because Zane is convinced if I'm walking near the bed that I must be ready to catch him. And I'm just trying to get ready for work for the day. So I'm going over to the drawer to get my stuff together. And Zane will leap off the bed and just bounce off like a rock. He'll hit the ground. He's like, "You say you'll catch me." Can I tell you guys that your heavenly Father is not like me? Sometimes I'll just let him drop. Like, "You're going to learn a lesson. You're going to learn today, you know?" Kevin Hart. Can I tell you guys, like, there's something about how naive and innocent kids are when it comes to trusting their father that when I jump, you're going to catch me. You're always going to be ready to catch me too. Some of you stopped jumping years ago because something happened or you lost faith or you lost trust. He wants you to have full trust and full faith. It's beautiful. It's unfiltered. Kids have this uncommon, unbiased amount of faith. Like, and what's crazy is some of us, we spend more time convincing our kids of things, Santa Claus and other things, more than we do the Messiah. I grew up thinking they were all buddies. I always share this at Candlelight. I thought Santa Claus and Jesus were like kicking it on the weekend. I didn't grow up a church. Can I tell you guys that Jesus is real? He is the Savior. He is the Lord. He is the Messiah. And he has come to take away your sin, white as snow, to pour out grace abundantly on your life. Oh, there's something beautiful about Christmas. It's because joy has entered into the earth. But as adults, what happens is we stop jumping And we stop trusting and we stop having faith because we've experienced what we call life. Would y'all agree? You experience real pain in real time, which develops a lack of trust in a heavenly Father that loves you. There's a wound that develops deep in your soul. I'm convinced of this, and I just want to be honest with you today. I'm convinced it's why the enemy, it's why Satan attacks kids. And he's after them today. I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer, but the enemy wants to steal, kill, and destroy. And I'm convinced that it's for this reason. He causes father wounds with young kids. He causes neglect and abuse and traumatic experience, and there's parenting wounds and there's lack of attention. There's all of these things. Why? Because maybe if he can distort and destroy a childhood, a kid's childhood, then maybe he can make them believe when they get older that there's not such thing as a good father who loves them. And I'm standing before you telling you that's my story. Can I tell you that your heavenly father's not your earthly father? He's perfect. He's flawless. He loves you. Maybe the enemy causes traumatic experiences. Like if you were to be honest this morning, you start thinking about some things that you walked through as a kid. I'm not trying to dig up baggage or things from the past, but what I'm telling you is I think the enemy had a plan to steal, kill, and destroy so that one day you would hear a message about coming to Jesus like a child and you would say, I don't want to do anything like a child because the thought of my childhood is traumatic for me. Can I tell you that he wants to heal that wound today? His grace is for you. He is in the business of restoration and meeting broken people right where they are at. And this is what he does. He restores your innocence. He restores your innocence. The last thing, would you write this down? Approach Jesus with desperation. We approach him with humility, not pride. We approach him with full trust and full faith. Jump again. Some of you need to hear that today. You need to jump again and trust him again. And we need to be desperate. Y'all, I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but if you go to Walmart, you'll probably experience this today. You'll walk up and there will be a child that is crying. They're standing, a little child, they're standing and they're crying and they've got their eyes just shut and there's tears streaming down their face and they're shaking, their knees are knocking together and they're screaming. And one thing they have in common is they always reach up. Just go with me. Every kid that's in need and they're in pain, they're in trouble, they reach up. You don't teach a kid to reach up. It's a natural response that I need help. Come to me as a child with humility. Come to me as a child with full trust and full faith. Come to me as a child with full desperation and dependence that when I reach out, I know that my Father is going to pick me up. So as we approach Christmas, let's approach it a little differently this year. Can we do that, church? Can we approach the Christmas season like, God, I'm desperate for you. I don't want anything else. I just want Jesus. I don't want anything else. I just want your presence in my home. I've got something I'm praying for 2024, one that we will see exceedingly and abundantly more than we've ever thought, asked, or prayed about at New Life Church. That's one thing, and I believe it's going to happen. It's going to come to pass. The second thing is I pray as a church body that we are more humble next year, that we are more full of faith next year, that we have full trust in a God that is our provider next year, and that we are more desperate for his presence than we've ever been before. Desperate. Some of you are like, well, Seth, that sounds really weak. Can I tell you, that's the best place to be. If you're desperate and you're weak before God, in your weakness, he is made strong. You've got your arms lifted up, and he wants to pick you up. It's desperate for God. If I could be honest with y'all this morning, the last 24 months of my life, being a pastor, I told y'all, some of you heard my story, I thought I was going to coach college baseball or high school baseball and be and teach like lunch or something. That's what I thought I was going to do. I was convinced. Got radically saved. God flipped my life upside down. I started preaching the gospel. I am addicted to seeing people set free, period. devote my life to it. Well, God called us up here. Well, can I tell y'all, since we moved to Fayetteville, I ain't never been more desperate for God in my entire life. New friendships, new relationships, new people, a new thing. How do you lead a church? What in the world? Some of y'all are like, yeah, I can tell you're still figuring it out. Okay, there's grace in Jesus' name, you know. This is what I've learned, though, is that when you are desperate for Jesus, when you have a desperation for Jesus in the middle of your weakness, it is a magnet for God's presence. Some of you feel like God is distant, and you simply need to hear this morning, that if you will draw close to him, he will begin to move towards you. We ended last week's sermon that if we draw close to God, he will draw close to us. I want to end with this thought. Jesus is asking you today, come to him as a child. Hopefully your perspective is a little different on that verse. Come to him as a child. And what I love about Jesus, church, please, please don't miss this, is that Jesus is a man of his word, and he will never ask you to do something that he has not first done as himself. If you think about Christmas, what is Christmas? In 8 days, we celebrate the Messiah, the Savior of the world, coming to the earth, coming to us as a what? A child. What a beautiful picture. So God is extending an invitation to all of us today as we approach this season to come to him as a child. I want to read the text one more time and we're going to pray. Matthew 18 says, at that time the disciples came to Jesus and asked, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And he called a little child to him and he placed the child among them and he said, truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly, humble position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes such a child in my name welcomes me. If you